You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters Live.
Welcome to the Table Talk podcast. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a writer and broadcaster specialising in food and science. This episode is about allergy awareness and what the food industry needs to be doing to deal with the dangers lurking in their products. Now, recent high-profile problems with allergens and food labelling have brought into sharp focus exactly how dangerous it can be to be complacent about allergies, allergens, and your legal duty to provide customers with information. Compliance isn't just about ticking the box marked 14 allergens. It requires a comprehensive strategy and commitment throughout the supply chain, from raw ingredient suppliers to the consumer. This week's podcast will explore the changes in food information regulation and the practicalities of compliance. And we're joined by Nicola Smith and Liz Tucker. Now, both Liz and Nicola will be course tutors on the Food Matters training course, Allergies Awareness in Food Service.
You're listening to the Table Talk podcast, brought to you by Food Matters Live.
My name's Liz Tucker. I'm a registered nutritionist. I've worked in the food industry for 20 years on a whole range of things, from product development to healthy promotion. And now I'm doing the allergy awareness in food service training.
So can you start off by giving us just a really basic snapshot of allergy regulation, and why is it so important that food service industry companies know about it?
The food regulations have been in for some years, to be honest, and specifically there's an allergy, as we all know, there's an allergy awareness side to it. Now, what there is what I've called the A to L list, and that goes everything from ingredients listing right the way through to best before dates. And one of those components is allergens. Now, if you have packed food, that has to have all those, all the A to L list on the package. But if it's unpacked food, you only have to display allergy or make consumers aware of allergy by the product. But what a lot of people don't understand is that you actually need to still have all the other information available for the customer to see, because they may not be allergic to the 14 listed allergens. They may have another allergy, so they may request to see the ingredients. So that's the key of the regulations, and that's what they're supposed to do. But a lot of people in food service just feel that they only have to display the allergen information and not necessarily worry about further information on the food.
And so why is this so important? Is it that there are more people with allergies now, or is it just to comply with regulation?
Well, actually, it's a bit of both. To be honest, yes, there are. I mean, there's been a massive rise in allergies. And it's now, it used to be about 1 in 10. Let me just explain a little bit about allergens and the types of reactions you can get, because most people know the allergic reaction, which is life-threatening. You can die within minutes because your airways get constricted and, you know, you just sort of blow up like a balloon, which is a very, very horrible experience, and as I say, can be life-threatening. So the most common one with that is peanuts. But it can be any type of food, but peanuts are the most common one, and then follow on with other things, even things like strawberries or other types of nuts, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Then there's another whole catalogue of much more common reactions, which we often put under a food intolerance heading. But actually, the whole allergy thing and the food intolerance tends to kind of merge, because it's all to do, allergens tend to be an immune reaction. So it's triggering off a specific immune reaction. That can be delayed or it can be immediate. So things like lactose intolerant reactions are what we class as intolerant reactions, because that doesn't involve the immune system. That's more to do with enzymes and things like that. So what I'm doing is completely confusing you, because in fact there are so many different types of reactions that people can have to food, and a straightforward classic life-threatening allergy yes, probably only about 1 in 1,000, but it's still 1 in 1,000, so it's still quite a number. But actually, when you start adding into the other reactions, you're probably looking more about a third of the population, and probably more common with children, because the key thing with children is that when they're born, they have a very primitive immune system. And the whole point is that they expose themselves to things and the body works out whether it's something that it needs to be attacking or allowing. So, and that's where it gets mixed up with food, because it's trying those out. So that's why children often have problems with allergy and grow out of them when they become adults. So it's really to do with their immune system creating itself from the exposure to different molecules. So, and even you can even go into brackets of psychological food reactions, and also toxic food reactions, as in food poisoning, because somebody might have very severe food poisoning and then find that they then have a reaction to that food after, you know, well after or for the rest of their life to that food, because of the fact that the body has recognized that as not something that it should eat.
It's a real mindset,
yeah,
isn't it?
So we're looking. Yeah, absolutely. So, and this is why it's so important, because I think people tend to label people with allergies as being a bit faddy, and particularly with the whole free from range of foods that have swept through the food industry.
Yeah.
People just go, oh, they're on one of those faddy diets. And admittedly, there are people who do that for maybe less sort of unhealthy reasons. For example, they might do it because they know they can lose weight that way, because if you cut out certain types of food, it may also reduce the amount of sugar and fat you have in your diet. But ultimately, we are finding that we are becoming more and more allergic, in basically in the environment that we've developed for ourselves.
Yeah. And so as well as the regulatory framework, there is an engagement with the public issue for food service companies. You know, if you don't care enough about people's perception of what their food is, then that's going to be damaging for your business.
Oh, absolutely. And there's obviously very much the stringent legal side of things, which is extremely important, because as we know, and there's some very high profile deaths that have occurred recently, which we all know have been in the news.
Yeah.
But actually, the people that are most likely to enforce it are the public, because there are a lot, especially now with social media, there are a lot of members of the public who made it their mission to target foods who aren't displaying that information properly, or in fact not actually complying. So they may say that they're dairy-free when they're not necessarily, because there may well be some type of cross-contamination or whatever.
Yeah.
So actually it's very much down to reputation, and this is the side that I tend to focus on, is the fact that it's actually the business's own interest from a PR marketing point of view that they comply with the regulations, because quite honestly, the people that are going to report them are going to be members of the public. And once they get a bad reputation, then it mars them for whatever they might do.
Yeah. So what sort of impact would falling foul of the regulations have on a restaurant or a chain?
Well, I think there's also there's an element of discrediting. So, for example, a lot of people associate free from with being healthier. That's not necessarily the case, but that is the perception that people have. And if they discover that there's actually maybe wheat or dairy and things that they've been selling as free from, then they may well say, well, actually, you're also making these healthy claims, and so therefore we don't think your food is as healthy as you're making out to be, or maybe not as natural as you're making out to be. How can we actually trust you in anything that you say if you've actually been lying about something so straightforward and fundamental? So there have been reputations wrecked by making claims and or not declaring allergens, and that's nothing to do with the regulatory side of things. It's the consumer saying, if you're not telling us the truth about this, how can we trust you on anything?
Yeah. And I mean, I would imagine that a lot of businesses think that regulation, that's not the fun bit of running a food business. And I'm talking about the slightly smaller companies, maybe B&Bs, pub chains, smaller chains of restaurants and people like that. Do you feel that people aren't putting enough effort into compliance because it's just not fun enough?
I think there is an element. Well, I think there's also this element of more bureaucracy, more red tape. And the thing is that food, packaged food, has had to deal with the regulations for many, many years. And so they're used to it and they accept it. So the catering industry, it's only been in the last 3 or 4 years that they've had to comply to some kind of regulation on how they declare their allergens in particular, but also declare what's in their product. So I think there's, firstly, we're already busy enough. I can't cope with another lot of red tape.
Yeah, I bet there's
but
a
I do
lot
think
of
there's
that,
also this. Yeah, I do think this is this part of the pooper side of things. And one of the ways that I really promote people to take the regulation seriously is actually the benefit that the company can get from actually making sure that they do full investigation into what's in their products. Because it's you don't know the nutritional value of your product. How do you know who to market it to?
Absolutely.
Who's your best customer? What benefits you can claim. You may discover that you've got some really good nutritional claims in there, like it may be a good source of calcium, or it may be low in fat, or, you know, all these sorts of things. So if you don't understand the nutritional profile of your products or your range or your menu or whatever, or then how can you actually say, you may well be missing out on a really strong marketing angle.
Yeah.
And so this, to me, is the angle. Is don't look at the stuffiness of the regulations, but look at the fact that you could benefit greatly from understanding what's in your products. But also the other key thing is the fact that if you're saying, I want to have a natural menu or a fresh menu or whatever, unless you fully investigate that nutritional profile of what you're making, how do you know that's actually true? And that's when, you know, you have to be able to justify yourself, because somebody comes in and says, actually, I don't think that's natural, or I don't think that's such and such, or I don't think that's free from. Then unless you've got all that data that's collected and researched and all that kind of stuff, then you're not confident in being able to make those claims on it. So that's to me, is the key thing is, I like win-win situations, and I think that companies should always look at the benefits they can get from understanding what they're actually producing.
Yeah, and then you know what you're offering that much better. So can you tell us, if we get down to the absolute basics of this, why is the regulation changing, and what are the most important changes?
Well, actually, the regulations aren't changing as much as people think they are, because I know that a lot of this has been prompted by recent events, but actually the underlying basis of the regulations is there. It's telling companies that they should make consumers fully aware of where the product came from, what's in it, like the full ingredients listing and all that kind of stuff. But as I said, with food service, it's only been focusing on allergens because that's what it says initially in the guidance. But if you understand and know the regulations from front to back, then you'll know that actually there's a core message running through that's saying all food information should be available to consumers. So I think what they're doing is really strengthening that side of things to sort of say, well, actually, you should have full ingredients listing available. And it's also how you train your staff, and how you make that information correct rather than just saying, ask a member of staff for that information. What have you put in place to make sure your staff fully understand what's in that? Do they fully understand? Will they ever fully understand it? So I don't think there's a huge change coming in the new consultation process. I think all they're going to do is say, well, actually, this is what we always meant. But they are quite grey and fluffy. And so what we need to do is really sort of make it a lot clearer.
And does that relate to the fact that in some of the recent cases there seemed to be a difference between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law, or applying yourself to what the rules are? Does the new legislation address that?
Yeah, I think one of the key things is that you can imagine that we're not just talking about one set of regulations. There's the regulations that we're referring to with the allergens in, but there's lots of spin-off guidelines and regulations that come from that. There's the nutritional health claims regulations, there's the gluten-free, there's the free-froms, there's the may-contains, there's all these, you know, the sort of things like that. There's a lot of pages to get through, and regulator writers don't write things very clearly. There's no doubt about that. And even those of us in the know that read it, sometimes it's like, sometimes we'll get a group of us together and say, does anybody really understand what this says? You know, and all that kind of stuff. So I think what they need to do is just make it simpler and clearer. So businesses can just go, have a page where they can go, we can do this, we can't do that. That's what regulations are not very good at doing. But also, one of the key clarifications is to do with the definition of packed and unpacked. So packed is fairly obvious. If you buy a sandwich, for example, and it's packaged in its little triangular box or whatever, then that should have the full A to L listing on that package. So it should have best before dates, it should have ingredients, it should have where it's come from, it should have allergy information, it should have a nutritional table, all these things that are in the A to L list. Unpacked is where a lot of companies have been slipping round, shall we say, or through or however, to avoid having to do that full labelling on pack. So, for example, if you ran a sandwich shop and you made sandwiches in the morning and put them in a pack ready for selling, then that is actually classed as unpacked, even though it's in a package.
Yeah.
So all you have to do with those is actually to display clearly what the allergens are from the list of 14 allergens. And you don't need to say the full ingredients or the nutritional data or anything like that actually on the pack. But what the regulations do say is that you should have that information somewhere readily available. And that's the bit that people have missed out in the regulations, because it comes much further on.
Yeah.
And so by the time people have got past that first bit where it says, if you sell unpacked food, and unpacked food includes food that's packed at site for convenience, then you just need to declare the allergens. And that's when people stop and don't go any further with the regulations. So I think that's really what the new consultation for the changing is, to actually make it clearer, A, the difference between packed and unpacked foods, but also the fact that all information should be available, whether it is packed or unpacked.
I guess we're looking at a climate where people are eating out more, and maybe because this regulation exists, people who have allergies should be feeling more confident about eating out more. So therefore, food service companies are more exposed in a way. They're more likely to find themselves in trouble if they don't apply themselves to this regulation. Is that right, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. I think that we eat out way more than we did two decades ago. There's no doubt about that. And so there is this issue with the fact. And also we have a whole range of different types of restaurants. So, for example, fast food is relatively new to this country. It's only really seriously been around for 30 years, probably.
Yeah.
Which does produce the same types of foods. Whereas if you go to a restaurant and they make a meal and they buy ingredients in the morning and they're not 100% sure what they're going to cook and stuff like that. So there are differences in the type of eating out, much wider differences. So rather than just saying the catering industry, there's these whole sort of different batches of types of catering, some who can cope much better with the regulations, or can actually cope very easily with the regulations because they just make the same thing over and over again. So a fast food chain, that it's very formal, you know, very much a formula that they follow, and the ingredients come from the same places and all that sort of stuff. Whereas somebody who runs a small restaurant, family restaurant, and they go to the market in the morning and they can't get a certain thing because it's out of season or expensive or whatever, so they just think, oh, actually, I'll put this in. And, you know, so that's where it can actually get more complicated. So in a lot of ways, the regulations benefit smaller companies, because by having to be truthful and declaring what's in the food. Actually, it's the smaller companies who generally benefit from that because they can, they probably do come from more natural sources and more ethical sources and all that kind of stuff. But when it comes to allergens, it's actually much harder for the smaller business to cope with the allergens because they make it up on the day a lot of the time. So that's a difficult one.
And you don't want to sort of trample on their creativity, but as long as you apply yourself to what the regulations are, you should feel a lot safer.
Yeah, well, and this is the thing, is that there should be every meal that you make, there should be some sort of fact sheet that goes with it. So if you turn up in the morning and with your ingredients, then you've got to sit down and write all that out. And know what's in it and understand what the 14, whether there's any of the 14 allergens in, but also list out what is in it. Because if somebody comes in the restaurant and says, I'm allergic to strawberries, that's not on the 14 list of the 14, but it actually can be a very bad reaction. And so you need to know whether it's in there or not. Not just you, but your staff need to know. So there are difficulties. And in fact, somebody, when I was doing a training course, somebody said, well, we do weddings. So, well, how do we put allergy information on canapes? Because, you know, do the staff walk around with it on their, on their chest or whatever? Is it may contain nuts in it or something like that?
Yeah.
So there's all these very specific individual issues, which you don't get to know until you actually talk to individual business owners.
Yeah. Thank you so much for your time. I think you are the human face of food regulation.
Well, thank you very much. Like I say, it's not the most thrilling of topics, but it is very important that people recognise that if they comply with the regulations, they'll actually find that they are much more comfortable with the food that they prepare because they're more confident to be able to make claims about it and understand it and actually find markets which they may not realise that they had. So don't be poo-pooing regulations.
There you go.
Allergy regulations can be what's in your food.
Commercial opportunity. I love it. Liz, you're a star. Thank you so much for talking to us.
My pleasure.
You're listening to the Table Talk podcast brought to you by Food Matters Live.
I'm Nicola Smith. I'm a regulatory lawyer at a global law firm called Squire Patton Boggs. I deal with all manner of compliance laws affecting businesses, but with a particular focus on products and food and drink specifically.
Why is the regulation changing? What's going on?
Okay, well, I think it's worth saying that the law hasn't changed yet, but in autumn last year, DEFRA committed to review the framework on allergen labelling in the UK. And they launched a consultation in January of this year, which proposed a number of options for amending the allergen information provisions. And that consultation was specifically around a particular group of foods, if I can put it that way, which have been known and referred to in various guidance documents and in the consultation as foods which are pre-packed for direct sale. Although some respondents to the consultation have also been asked whether the government should also review other types of food. As I say, the law hasn't changed yet. We're still awaiting the formal response to the consultation and the actual proposals to change the law. And if the government do decide to press ahead with the proposals to change the legislation, then it will need to go through the normal legislative procedures, going through as a draft bill through the Commons and the Lords. And it may be, given that there's quite a lot of parliamentary time taking up at the moment with good old Brexit, but that may not come any time within the next few weeks. But equally, it's a matter which has been expressed as being high on the agenda.
So why does this consultation come about? What were the difficulties that it's trying to tackle?
Well, I think it's right to say that if you look at what it says in the consultation, It talks about the fact that it is not particularly clear what is required for foods which are pre-packed for direct sale and how they differ from other foods. And in particular, DEFRA say within their consultation document that there is the potential for confusion amongst customers as to whether a food is pre-packed for direct sale or just pre-packed, because yeah, they may very well appear to be the same to the consumer. Exactly. So I think it's arisen as a result of the confusion within the law and within the guidance, and the fact that there's been a heightened awareness that could cause confusion amongst consumers.
Was there a difference, do you think, between the letter of the law and the spirit of the law? So in how people applied it, because I guess you can give people as much or as little information about products within the regulations. Why don't people just give as much information as they can?
Well, I'm not actually sure that it is right to say there's a difference between the letter and the spirit of the law. I think it's more the case that the law isn't very clear as to what actually constitutes foods which are pre-packed for direct sale. There is some concern that the legislation in the UK allows information to be given verbally for such foods, and indeed for non-prepacked foods generally. So foods such as you might order in a restaurant from a menu, or foods that you might display on a delicatessen counter, for example. Yeah. And if you compare the UK position to some other EU countries, in those other EU countries, the governments have decided that allergen information is required to be given in writing for those categories of foods as well as for prepacked foods.
I guess people telling you what the allergies are, there's an interpretive issue there, isn't there? And people will have to tell you what they know, and sometimes they don't know the full story.
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, going back to the letter and the spirit of the law, I think, you know, it's quite clear within the UK that the reason that prepacked for direct sale foods are being treated differently to prepacked foods, for example, is that because prepacked for direct sale foods have been packed on the same premises from which they're being sold, the expectation is that the customer can speak with the person that's packed them to find out what allergies are within the food. So I don't think it's a difference between the letter and the spirit of the law. I think it's a question of whether the law, as it is in the UK, meets the expectations of consumers in terms of, you know, a clear way of giving allergen information on all types of food.
Yeah. And what do food service companies need to be doing in light of the sort of the proposed changes, or indeed the different world within which we're living after a few sort of very high profile problems with allergens? I would assume that people are thinking differently about their approach to giving information. What should companies be doing, especially the smaller companies that maybe haven't really tackled it as much as they should have done in the past?
Well, I think, you know, it's right that, you know, there is heightened awareness amongst businesses of allergens and the importance of managing allergens. In terms of the consultation itself, the government is considering four options in terms of how it changes what's required for allergen information for foods that are pre-packed for direct sale in future. And those options range from effectively something that doesn't affect food companies, in that the government and other activities promote best practice with things like public information campaigns and guidance for the sector produced by the FSA, right through to full ingredient labelling. And the options in between are things that many businesses do already. So, for example, obligatory ask the staff labels on packaging, requiring businesses to do that. But I go back to what I said at the start, which is essentially that is a proposal at the moment. It's not law. So it may well be that companies don't want to go down the route of complying with any of the options that are specified in the consultation. But that said, there are some things that they could do in the meantime, you know, in light of the fact that it's likely that the law will change. And certainly, as I say, awareness is heightened. So they might want to, for example, review their own allergen management procedures and policies. They might want to look at their supply chain and the products that they sell, for example, in terms of which of those products include allergens. They might want to look at the procedures that they have in place already, and just have a general awareness of what's proposed in the consultation, so that if one or more of those measures are introduced, they've got an action plan, if you like, for how they're going to introduce that within their own business and the risks that they need to assess within their own supply chain and their own procedures to make sure that they can do that.
Is there ever a position where it doesn't benefit the company to give more information? So obviously there are only 14 allergies that the compliance covers at the moment. Would there be anything negative about just giving as much information about what's in the product? Any situation where you make your company vulnerable because you do that?
Well, yes, potentially. But it goes back to this difference between you're legally obliged to give information on the 14 specified allergens. I mean, that's a legal requirement. As you just alluded to, there are other allergens that may be present in foods which aren't one of those 14. Query, you know, if you go further than the legal obligation to provide the 14, are you causing yourselves problems? Well, possibly, actually, and it's not even about causing yourself problems. It's potentially about causing customers with or consumers with allergies problems.
Because
if you haven't undertaken the detailed assessment process that we've just talked about, and can't guarantee that an allergen is or isn't within a product, to label something without being absolutely sure that that's correct, it potentially does more harm than good. And that's been the debate about sort of make and tame labelling for a long time now. Because if somebody with an allergy asks you if it contains strawberry, for example, and you can't guarantee either way that it does or it doesn't, but you say because it's not, you know, it's not categorically an ingredient that you've put in, you say that it hasn't, and somebody with an allergic, somebody with an allergy consumes it, then obviously they could suffer a reaction, and that has implications under the general food safety laws. So even though that's not a declarable allergen, it could potentially mean that you're liable under food safety provisions.
What are the challenges of kind of engaging the industry and the supply chain so that people can get as much information as possible out to their customers?
I'm not sure that I necessarily agree that they aren't engaged. As a general position, I think in my experience, you know, allergen and allergen awareness is actually high on the agenda of many businesses and their suppliers. But there is possibly a challenge in ensuring consistency of engagement and making sure that those in your supply chain are aware of the information that you need for you to be able to give the allergen information in the way that you want to or indeed need to in terms of the legal obligations for declaring the 14. So I think there are some challenges in that in ensuring that consistency. And I think there are also some challenges actually in engaging the general public and even allergy sufferers themselves. Mm-hmm. It's something that's been fairly widely documented actually that allergen sufferers will not necessarily take proactive steps in all circumstances to check that the food that they don't that they're eating don't contain the particular substances that they're allergic to.
So they don't want to seem to be sort of picky or trip or difficult customers. Or,
yeah,
that makes it
Exactly. And then anecdotally, you know, some of my clients tell me that actually people are much more likely to ask whether a food is vegan or whether it's been prepared in a particular way than whether or not it contains an allergen. And I think that goes back to one of the sort of options, if you like, in the government consultation, which is, you know, that promotion of best practice, that additional activity to ensure that everybody's aware of the importance of allergens, including the allergy sufferers themselves.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much for talking to us, Nicola. If you are interested in the Food Matters training course, go to thefoodmatterstraining.com, and both Liz and Nicola will be course tutors on the Allergies Awareness in Food Service course. Nicola, thank you so much for your help.
Thank you for listening to the Table Talk podcast. If you've enjoyed it, please share a review. If you like what you've heard, find out more on foodmatterslive.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook.